The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. And for the newbies, that is not a radio name. It's my real name on my passport, driver's license, birth certificate, Matt Slick. Learned to run as a kid because of it. Hey, if you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. Want to hear from you? Please give me a call. And if you have a question on the Bible, actually, you know, I was just thinking about something. I used to do this kind of a thing before. There's up here in Idaho, they have gun shows. And I like to go to them and just check things out. And every now and then we'll get there and someone will have a booth promoting Christianity. And I always thought, you know, it'd be cool to have a booth there. I'm not going to do it this time, but where you have a sign that says, ask me your toughest question about God, Jesus, the Bible, existence, logic, evolution, you know, it's salvation, heaven, hell, you know, just a list of things. Ask me questions. And I enjoy doing that. Enjoy answering questions like that. And I just ask that, you know, if you're interested and you want to ask questions along those lines, you want to know what's going on, you have questions, give me a call, all right? It's easy. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And just got the sound fixed. If you want to watch, you can do that. All you have to do is just go to carm.org, carm.org, and you can watch the show. It's no big deal. It's just me sitting in a chair with a headset on and in the office, and we take calls here. So I'm able to do all of that. Okay, now give me a call, folks, 877-207-2276. So, annihilationism has reared its in my opinion, ugly head, and I'm working on an article on it. It's going to take me a while to go through it. So, a guy I know, became friends with actually recently, he was in a debate with, it was a two-on-two debate, and I think it went really well for the traditional view, the eternal conscious torment view. And the annihilationist view, I don't think did very well. This is my opinion. And I watched the entire thing, and I'm going through the annihilationists' video, where they kind of debriefed on what they think happened. And for me, it was just damage control. That's what I was seeing. It was, but. There's some interesting things that are coming up, and because of it, I'm writing an article. I'm writing an article where I'm going to get a specific list of specific questions for the annihilationists, and I'm going to add it to the annihilationist list of articles I've already got on CARM. But annihilationism is the position that people don't exist anymore upon death. There's three main views that I've discovered or have found, and maybe some annihilationists who know something different, say the more popular view, you can correct me, that's fine. But what I've seen is regarding human nature. There's one view that says when you annihilationists will say that when you die, that you continue on existing, and that you you wait until the day of judgment. And if you're a good, you know, you trusted in Christ, then you're going to be going to heaven. And if you did not, you're going to be annihilated. You'll be wiped out in non-existence. The other view, and let me say, that view is not heretical. I believe it's an error, but it doesn't deny any essential doctrines. The other view is soul sleep, that when you die, the human person doesn't exist, or does exist, it's just they're in a state of unconsciousness. But that has problems. There's a lot of problems with it. And that is, depending on the view held by particular individuals within that position, it can be really dangerous or not as dangerous. And then the third view, which I consider to be heretical, flat-out heretical, is the physicalist view, which is that when the human person dies, he doesn't exist anymore, and that he'll be resurrected and judged to annihilation or eternal life, depending on you know who you are. And so that's the view that I believe is damnable in its heretical view, and there's reasons for it. I'll get into it sometime. It has to do with the person of Christ and the sufficiency of the atoning work, how it affects the hypostatic union, the two natures of Christ. And so I'm writing an article where I'm going through dealing with the after show or the review that the conditionalists, the annihilationists, went through, and Chris Tate and Glenn Peoples are talking, and I'm trying to understand the view that they have on human, the human soul, and I can't figure it out. They're not very clear. And then also one of them on the doctrine of the Trinity, I got to keep listening. I'm an hour and a half into it, but I can't figure out what the doctrine of the Trinity is, and this is problematic. In my opinion, heresies, false teachings are never alone. They always have bedfellows, and depending on the initial heresy, it will affect other areas of theological precision and cause problems. All right, well, anyway, that's what I'm working on. It won't be ready for a day or two, but working on that as well as other articles. If you want to give me a call, folks, five open lines, give me a call, 877-207-2276. And if you don't call, I will pick a topic and go for it, and I'll probably make people upset because of what's going on out there in the world, particularly in our country with COVID, with so many other things that are going on. So, okay, let's see here. All right, making sure. So we have people in the chat room if you want to call. And or if they have questions, they can do this. It's very rare we don't have questions right away. So one of the things that's been going on in our society is this issue with COVID and mask wearing. And I've been doing research. I'll be writing some stuff on that as well. And I'm still surprised that people are wearing masks so readily and so easily. Like, I've had COVID, and my wife has had it. For me, it was no big deal. She had to suffer through 9 days of fever for it, poor girl. But me, I had 1 day of fever, done, moved on. And a lot of people that don't even have any symptoms at all. Well, I've had it and been through it. So why do I have to wear a mask? Why do I have to go out someplace and wear a mask when I've already had it? Furthermore, what about those people who are vaccinated? They have to wear masks still also. Why is that? What's the reason for this? Now think about this. I'm relating this to cult mentality. Because in cults, there are various kinds of cults where you are supposed to adhere to the system of thought that is within that theological system. And one of the things that they do is keep control over you through varying requirements. If you submit to those requirements, then they know they still have control over you. And so this happens in Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses. It happens in Catholicism. It happens in Christian Science, Unity, Islam. It has various things where the issue of control. And I say control versus freedom because only in Christ are we free. And we're free to be able to do what we want to do and not do what we shouldn't do and things like that in freedom. But cults always put a fence around your life with the issue of control. They don't have the doctrine of regeneration where you are changed and dwelt by God, where your nature is changed, you're made a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're born again, John 3:3-8. They don't have that. They have religion. And so religion has the parameters of do's and don'ts that you're to adhere to in order to keep yourself in the faithful group. So what's happening out there with the issue of this mask wearing? I've been reading material on stuff, and I'm not saying don't wear a mask. Okay, I'm not saying that because I've got to be official here. I'm not saying don't wear one. I'm asking the question, why is it that we have to continue to wear masks when people have been vaccinated and are immune because they've already had it, and then they go on? Why is it that the mask wearing is still in place all over the place? And this is, to me, very disturbing because, to me, it's reminiscent of mind control, of person control. if you wear the mask out in public, I see people in cars by themselves wearing a stinking mask. You know, I just don't get it. And so I'm thinking of in the terms of mental control, of societal control. Now, am I off base? Am I saying too much? Do you think I'm right? Do you think I'm wrong? What do you think? I see this, and I'm concerned about it. I think there's a little bit of mind control going on. That's my opinion. I do. And I'm not saying wearing masks during a pandemic is not a good idea. I think it is a good idea if you have a good mask, but you have to do it properly. You can't be touching it with your hands all the time because it just spreads germs on the outside and you breathe those out. The air goes through the mask and the germs are moved from the outside of the mask out. And you should always use a clean mask every time you touch it. You should, if you go home, you trash that mask or wash it if it's that kind. I don't know if they even exist. And then you use another mask. I was reading up on how it's supposed to be done. In fact, they've discovered that in the areas where they have a lot of mask wearing, there's no difference in the COVID cases than where they don't. How about that? And furthermore, I've discovered that the majority of deaths related to COVID are people 65 years and over. And the average age of the death, I think it is what was it, 70, 78? And that's the average age that someone dies of COVID. I hope I'm remembering that correctly. I read it a couple nights ago. And yet, coincidentally, the average age of a human being in America is 78 also. It looks like they're getting this thing when they're, not, you know, not trying to be callous or anything, but they're towards the end of their lives anyway. Not that that's, you know, callous or not important. Of course it is. And it because we're all going to die from something, our last sickness, our last something, whatever it is before we go. And so they're counting this as information and then saying, now everybody's got to wear a mask. Something's not right. And so we have the leftists, secular leftists, in control of our government, and they're all wearing masks. It just has me worried. What do you think? Think I'm right? Think I'm wrong? Let's hear what you got to say. Let's get to Chris from Ohio. Chris, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, brother. I think you hitting on the spot on, man. I just feel like everything you said, that's exactly what I've been repeating out there. And add on to that, I just feel like it really doesn't make sense. They say you get the vaccine, but you're not 100% covered. Yeah. You're like only 70-something percent covered after that. I just don't understand. If somebody gets the vaccine and they're covered, why do I have to get it too? They're not going to get it. The people that want to be extra safe, quote unquote, they got it. So why does it even matter if I get it now? They're supposed to be immune to it, quote unquote. But right. I do feel like it's more to it. I feel like they trying to prepare people for the mark. I don't know your position on the mark, if it's going to be something that's literally inside you or not, but I believe to some degree or another they're trying to prepare people to eventually take the mark. I believe that's what this whole thing about. I don't believe there's nothing more than that. Because they was lying about the numbers and everything, like you just pointed out. The CDC says something like only 6% of people that died for COVID was people that was completely healthy. The other 94% was people that had underlying issues, you know, like issues with their heart, super old, stuff like that. So I feel like you're hitting on it perfect. Another thing I want to touch on is the
vaccines.
I don't understand how.
I want to hear you because we got a break and we got to take a break. It's a hard break. So hold on and we'll get back to you, okay? I want to hear more. Hey, folks, we have three open lines if you want to give me a call on this topic or any other topic. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Here's a Renewing Your Mind Minute with Dr. R.C. Sproul.
We may be persuaded that Christ is divine and still not be awakened to the sweetness of that idea. We still may have not gone beyond intellectual recognition. There still may not be any affection that has arisen from our hearts or from our souls. The awakening of that sensibility, that sensitivity to the excellence of the things of God, to the sweetness of the things of God, is something that is done by the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit works in the Word, with the Word, and through the Word.
For today's special offer, visit renewingyourmind.org.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Two open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Chris from Ohio, you're back on the air, buddy.
Okay. All right, yes. I want you to touch on these two things right here. Number one, I'm going to start with the latter part. I just forgot that. It just slipped my mind just now. What do you think about with China's doing? I believe it's China out there turning their soldiers into almost like super soldiers, almost making them more immune to cold and making them a little bit stronger. What do you think about that?
I haven't heard that particular.
You haven't heard about that?
No, but I have heard about certain drugs that are being administered and experimented on for soldiers that cause them to be, well, let's just say, better soldiers. Yeah, I've heard about this.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank you, man. I forgot the last one. It was good, but I forgot it. Thank you.
That's all right. It's okay. It's a concern that I've had, and I did some research. Check this out. Did we shut down our economies for the Hong Kong flu back in 1968? So I'm 64, so I remember these, okay? When AIDS came out in 1981, the SARS virus in 2003, and that was a coronavirus. SARS was. And MERS from 2012, that was coronavirus also. The swine flu of 2009, Zika in 2015. Why is it that this one, we got to shut down everything? It's a problem because everybody, they shut down the economy, basically. Millions of people lost jobs. The economy's in bad, bad shape. Now we've got the leftists, a $2 trillion stimulus package. You don't just print money. It causes inflation, which means we end up losing our money value. And this is a solution that they've got for these things. Why didn't we shut down the economy for these other things? We didn't. I remember we went through these things. And if you are interested, if you guys out there are interested, there's a book that slipped through on Amazon. They didn't, because Amazon will most probably wanted to get rid of it, but it became the number one bestseller very quickly. It's called The Faustian Bargain, F-A-U, you know, Fauci, Faustian Bargain. It's really interesting. There's a lot of good information in there. And so the overall clinical consequences of COVID-19 may ultimately be more akin or akin to those of severe seasonal influenza, which is a fatality rate of 0.1%. And while wearing a mask may also have unintended consequences. People who wear masks tend to touch their face more often to adjust them, which can spread germs from their hands. So as they're coughing, if they have this, they adjust their mask. And I wore a mask for a while, and I'm constantly adjusting it. And I had trouble breathing, so I was constantly moving it and then touching other things. You know, I go shopping. It's just ridiculous what they're doing. I recommend people do research. See, I'm the kind of person, and I cause problems this way, I'm the kind of person who believes in trusting God and going out and doing something. I don't believe in just trusting God and sitting around. I did swap meet ministry for 2.5 years. I used to dress up like a punker, go down to the beach in Southern California. I did phone ministry. I went to prison ministry for 9 years. I've done website, CARM, radio, write books, do debates. I believe in going out and doing. That's me. If you don't do all that I do, don't worry about it. That's just me. I believe that Christians are obligated to do something, whatever that might be in your particular case.
Amen.
You know, that's all. But the thing is, how can we sit around? And we have to be aware of what's going on. We are called to be aware. We're called to know truth, and we're called to study. Don't just follow what everybody tells you, especially some guy named Slick on the radio. Do your homework and do studying. Yeah, you can't trust a guy named Slick on the radio. That guy's talking to a guy today who, I think his name was Keith. I'm bad with names. And he says he's out there in the Carolinas. Every now and then I call donors and say, hey, thanks for supporting. There's so many, I can't do it all. But we got talking. He says, the reason I listen to you, Matt, is because you go to the scriptures. You go to the Word of God. I'm like, amen, brother. Because that's what you've got to trust the Word of God. You know?
Oh, yep.
Okay.
Good stuff, man.
It is.
Yeah. I'll let you go, but one last thing, man. So,
sure.
Then I'll just hang up or whatever. But how do you feel about, as far as the vaccines, about the long-term effects? I feel like it's very, I'm not trying to go too sci-fi here or too just, you know, off the wagon, but we don't know what these vaccines could do to people in 10 years. They could turn to anything. We don't know what it can do. I don't know. So it just seems a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I've had to do research on it. They're supposed to go to Israel next year, and it looks like it's going to happen. And it looks like all Israel's going to do is require a quick test when you arrive, and that's all that's going to be necessary, which is very quick. I've heard the Johnson & Johnson. This is what I've heard. Maybe people know more than me about this, which I'm sure is out there. I've heard that is not the one that causes DNA alteration. And so that's what concerns me. I don't want my DNA altered. But I've heard also that there are past vaccines that do have that effect. So it's like, which ones? You know, we've already got them. I don't know. It's just got a lot more research to do. And I'm in the middle of so many things. But, yeah, I'll find out more.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. God bless you.
God bless you. All right. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Cliff from Florida. Hey, how you doing, buddy? You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, man?
I agree with you. I agree that, I think it's just a big psyop to see what people were going to do. And I don't even think they anticipated people would be as sheepish as people have been.
Compliant, yeah.
Yeah, but you can't get somebody out of a position that they got to by the way of emotion. Like, you can't reason somebody out of a position that they came to by the way of emotion. So, you know, like, from the higher up, if they're looking at it and they're like, dang, all these people did everything that we said based on no stats. Like, we can show them stats, or people can show them stats and show them this is not really deadly, or it's just like the flu that you care nothing about, but they'll still do everything we say, you know. So it concerns me for the future. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now, one of my interests is UFOs. Another interest is quantum physics. I've been reading some books on quantum physics lately. And another one, just, you know, I have these weird interests. Another one is Nazi Germany. And the only reason I'm really interested in that is I heard that years ago, I heard that the Nazis were involved in the occult a lot. So that got me interested in studying them. But over the years, I've learned other things. And the propaganda machine of the Nazi, they were socialist party. A lot of people don't know the Nazis were socialists. They were a socialist party.
Yeah.
That's what it was. They were socialists. And when they got in absolute control, look what they did. But at any rate, the propaganda machine, you can control information, you can control the population. And that's what I'm concerned about. That's how it works in cults, too. I can explain that when I get back to the break.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We'll get back to you, Cliff, after the break. We have one open line, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back to Cliff from Florida. You're on the air again. Welcome back.
Hey, what's up, Matt? that's pretty much all I was saying. But like, if the CDC was to come out tomorrow and say nobody has to wear a mask anymore, a lot of people would just stop wearing their masks.
Right.
And my question is, why do y'all let the CDC control y'all that much? I'm not a mask wearer, would never be. But the concern for me is just the people's willingness to just be controlled, you know, without thinking the situation for themselves.
Right. Well, biblically speaking, this issue of quarantining and shutting down the economy, biblically, it's only the sick who are quarantined. And this is out of Leviticus 13. You guys, everybody wants to just remember Leviticus 13, start reading through it. And you'll see that it's the sick who are quarantined. Where do you ever find that you have to quarantine the healthy? It doesn't make any sense. And you shut down the economy to do that, which causes far more problems. Anyway, there's a lot.
Never in the history of the world have we done that.
That's right. It's, you know, why do people sit down and agree to this? I don't understand it. You know, when it first came out, okay, we didn't know what was going on, but now we have the information. Why is it continuing? It doesn't need to. So,
in our country, I know a big part of it was people's hatred for Trump. So because Trump was one way on it, they just had to go another
That's
way
right.
on it. I'm not trying to take it super political, but right. I know a lot of people are just with it just because Trump was against it,
right.
which is unfortunate. But yeah, that's
yeah. Well, it's because the left hated Trump so much; it's all you heard. So people start believing the media, and start believing everything. But what's happening is there's a polarization going on in America: conservatives versus liberals. There's a distinction going on, and it's you know not a good thing. Anyway, all right, buddy. Thanks a lot, Cliff, okay?
Hey, have a good one, Matt.
You too, brother. God bless. All right, let's get to Julia from Raleigh, North Carolina. Julia, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing
and thanks
right.
for taking my call.
Sure.
I love your show, and I really, everything you've said on this show, I feel exactly the same way, and my small church thinks and feels the same way. And I don't understand. It seems to me that, you know, God opens the eyes of Christians that we can see these things. And mm-hmm. what really troubles me deeply is that I've got so many friends who, you know, claim to be Christians and they're in, you know, some of the churches that you talk about that, you know, they're the prosperity ministries and the feel good, just, you know, they don't teach biblical principles in their churches, and they're siding with all of this insanity, and it troubles me and hurts me for them that they're blinded and can't see. And then I was reading an article today. I'm like you, I've researched, I read everything. I read mm-hmm. the left articles from the left, articles from the mm-hmm. right, you know, the CDC's website. You know, I form my own conclusions Good. With my limited knowledge, and I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but, you know, I form my opinions, and from the things I see, you know, what you're saying is spot on, and none of this makes any sense. But today, actually on NPR's website, Franklin Graham came out, and I probably won't get the exact quote right, but it was something to the effect that Franklin Graham was quoted as saying that if you loved your neighbor and people, then you would get a vaccine, and if Jesus were here, he would tell you to get a vaccine. And like the former caller was saying, what concerns me is this vaccine. The RNA technology is very new. We don't have any historical data on it, and I've got members of my family that are in virology and work in vaccines, and you know they're recommending that if you're forced to take one, that the J&J vaccine is the old traditional technology, just like the flu vaccine that's been around right. for, you know, decades. But, you know, to me, as a Christian, you know, God designed us perfectly for our own immune systems to fight right. this thing. And to your point, what you said earlier, you know, a lot of the people that are succumbing to this, you know, have pre-existing conditions or have reached the life expectancy. You don't want anybody to die. I wish everybody would live forever, but that's just not the, you know, the reality. But this just troubles me, especially when the evangelical community, somebody like Franklin Graham is stating this publicly. You know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. That bothered me today. Of course, every day I think I can't read anything new that's going to bother me, and it does.
Yeah, that's right. That's why at 10 o'clock at night I have to quit everything because I don't want to hear any news to discuss anything, you know?
No, because I don't sleep well at night. I get so, I'm so troubled. It's heavy. I mean, literally, some days I just can't breathe when I'm seeing it. I see through these things, and I understand, and it the burden is heavy. But I really would like your thoughts on somebody like Franklin Graham, because I think he's doing, you know, the Christian community a great disservice.
He's doing a lot of good, but with that statement, if you
doing a lot of good.
Yeah, and if you know, and I'm proud to say that he's a brother in Christ, and that he preaches the gospel at every opportunity. Praise God! We need more men like him. But to say that if you love your neighbor, you'll get a vaccine. Well, it may be true, it may not be true, depending, because to love our neighbor is to put him first or her first, you know, above ourselves. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 talks about this kind of a thing. But what does that mean? Well, you know, if it means taking a vaccine that's going to alter my DNA and maybe make me more susceptible to something later on, I'm not going to do it. Doesn't mean I don't love my neighbor. But if it means taking a vaccine that will stop the spread of a disease, then fine. I don't have any problem with it, as long as it's not made with aborted fetal cells and alters DNA. So, you know, it's not an easy question to answer.
Are you thinking what he said? And of course, you know, that I've not, all I did was read that NPR headline because it's been a really crazy day at work. But, you know, was it maybe taken, you know, out of context? And maybe he talked about don't do the RNA vaccine, you know, be cautious of one with, you know, aborted fetal tissue. You know, was there more to that story that I didn't see or read? Because it troubles me, because that just totally guilts everybody into, it puts this guilt on, oh, I'm a terrible Christian if I'm not getting a vaccine, and I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I don't plan to take it. If I am forced to for various reasons, we'll see what happens. But I don't want to take it, and I've already had it, so my body's already done its job, and by God's grace. So, you know, okay, what do I have to take it for? Why?
Exactly.
Because they want to control you. They want submission by the population. This is what cults do. Cults, what they do is control their people, and they do it in varying ways. Some are more overt, and some are less overt. The more overt are the Jehovah's Witnesses. You have to go to the Kingdom Hall. You got to be involved with their church. They tell you what the truth is, and you have to study their material. That's an overt mind control. You have lesser kind of that with cults that will teach that they are the restored gospel, the restored truth. You got to be in their group for the truth, and it's always about the truth. And so what happens is, when a governmental system or a society where the information production is controlled by people or a certain group with one mindset, that's how they control a population, by saying, well, you have to have this, and all the news media outlets are saying the same thing. You don't know if it's true or not, particularly since the news media doesn't, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, they're not into the issue of truth. They're into the issue of agenda, politicizing whatever can be done. And this is very obvious. It's been there for a long time, so I don't watch them. Well, I do when I do my research, but in fact, I recommend people get the Conservative Pro app for your phone. Conservative Pro app. It's a great app.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that one. I'll look that one up.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's, I feel like,
News Pro. Conservative News Pro app. Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like the conservative voice has been obvious. I don't feel like it has been absolutely canceled, and there's no real voice to speak truth. And that's why your show is so important to me, because I feel like you do your research. In fact, my husband and I are monthly donor to your program, and you know, we really, really appreciate what you're doing and being a voice of reason in all of this insanity. And I wish everybody would listen to your show, and I wish people that didn't agree with you would go do research, because with an open mind. Because if they did, you know, I would pray that their eyes would be open and they would see, like, oh my God.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, there's a break.
So
we gotta
go. Thank you so much, Matt.
Appreciate
all right, thank you,
Julia.
You. God bless.
God bless you, too.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye. All right, two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live. Taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Let's get on the air here with Adam from Oklahoma. Adam, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Brother Matt. First off, I just want to say thank God for your ministry. When I first was converted about 2 or 3 years ago, I had set in on a lot of your lessons on a Discord server, and you definitely pointed me in a more biblical direction. So,
wow.
Thank you for that ministry.
Praise
and
God.
Second question we had was someone who is going into, I'll put it like this, the long version made short is I have a good job. I've got a family, wife, kids, but at the same time, I'm looking at wanting to become more involved directly in ministry. I serve in a great church.
Mm-hmm.
And what advice would you offer someone if they are looking going into ministry, not late in life, in my early 30s, but definitely going into ministry full time? What advice or discernment would you offer to someone more or less looking at that? Thank you.
Well, there's different levels of advice I give for different functions, but generically speaking, if you want to go into ministry, your wife has to agree. And it's not up to her, but if she's not willing to suffer with you through it, then you can't do it and you shouldn't do it. Ministry, picture this. Ministry is like seeing a brother in Christ, and you go pick him up. He's hurting, and you put your arm around him, and you're walking him to a better place, and he stabs you in the back while you have your arm around him, and you're walking him to a better place, and he continues to jab at you. Now, I'm not saying that's how all believers are. That is something you have to realize you're going to face, because Christians love God, but they're sinners. And you'll find that there are situations in which, in ministry, where you have to be the one injured to protect the sheep. And, you know, I remember there was a church split that happened in San Diego when I was back there, and I knew the pastor, and people, you know, wanted me on their side or that side. And the pastor and I had lunch, and he couldn't tell me anything. And I'd already been through some stuff. I'm an ex-pastor, right? I said, there's probably things you can't tell me, right? He just nodded. I said, there's probably things that if you did tell me, it would defend you, make you look better, because it's true, but it would injure somebody else, and you can't say anything, right? And he just nodded. I said, I got you. I know exactly what's going on. I mean, you know, the generic sense. But this is the kind of thing you got to be ready for. And what's even worse? Oh, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what God does to your heart. Because I'll tell you, I thought I was pretty spiritual. And I found out that I'm a miserable wretch, saved by grace, kept by grace, used by grace. I'm not nearly as good, as humble and wonderful as I thought I was. God has a habit of putting us in situations where our own hearts are exposed, and we have to deal with things down deep that are difficult. And sometimes it means humbling yourself before people. Sometimes it means just before your wife. And other times it means you and God are having it out. And of course, he's going to win.
Right.
It's all kinds of stuff like that. The hardest thing I've found about ministry was not the people, but my own sin. You know, it just, you know, for example, pride. You know, I mean, I know a lot of stuff. And so when you have a lot of knowledge, well, that can bolster pride. Well, hey, don't worry, I'm humble. Really? Yeah, and whenever I start thinking that, God has his way of smacking me down and putting me back in my place. And this is what you're going to go through over and over again. And then there's the financial problems that usually occur. And then there's the people who are needy and they want your help, and you know you'd rather not, but you've got to, because it's the right thing to do. And then late night calls. I mean, ministry is hard work. And you got to talk to your wife about this. If she's willing to participate in this with you, okay. If she's not, then that can't happen, because it'll wreck your marriage. But if she's willing to, then okay. And then you got to pray up, study up, and I'd keep a journal so that in 20 years you can look back and you can laugh at yourself where you were now and say, boy, was I an ignorant, stupid jerk. I'm glad God decided to use me anyway, you know? That's right. Basically what it is. And you still can't believe why he'd use you. As I heard one preacher say, I'm glad God predestined me from the foundation of the world, because if he'd look at me now, he wouldn't pick me. You know?
Yep. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Well, Brother Matt, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And God bless you.
Does that help?
It does. Absolutely.
Now I'm going to tell you something else. There's what's called the internal call and the external call. The internal call is you feel it. It's there in your heart, in your mind. And what I would do is pray about that with your wife, letting her know about it, all of this. And you pray about it. And if it's from God, have him increase it. If it's not from God, have him decrease it in your heart, because we don't want to have this be a sinful, fleshly thing that you're not even aware of is the case. I'm not saying it is or isn't. You know, it's just how we are sometimes.
Right.
And so that's called the internal call. The external call is the body of Christ recognizes that gifting and calling of God in you and externally calls you to serve. So then there's more to this. So ministry is hard, but it's worth it. I've never worked harder in my life than in this ministry. And I'm 64. Most people retire at 65. And I have no plans of retiring. None. I want to keep going, because that's the calling. That's the calling. You answer it and you walk in it. All right?
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. God bless. Let me know what happens. Okay.
It will do.
All right. Let's get on the calls with David from Florida. David, welcome. You're on the air. Dave. Dave's not here.
Just had a had a quick question about what you thought was on altar calls. A lot of the reform circles aren't quite a fan of altar calls in general. Is there ever a time that it's appropriate and that they work, or should we avoid it altogether?
I see nothing in the Bible that prevents altar calls. I got saved at an altar call myself. My wife did too. Now, that doesn't mean that our experiences are what validate something, but the idea of confessing Christ, we want to do it publicly, because Jesus says, if you deny me to men, he'll deny you before God. So there's a public aspect to this. So is it wrong to walk up front to receive Christ? Of course not. Now remember, I'm very reformed, okay? I have no problem with altar calls. If I was in a preacher of a church and I felt that it was timed at that moment in a sermon or whatever it is to preach the gospel and to come forward as a public declaration that you're trusting in Christ, I would have no problem doing that. It's not going forward that saves you. That's the important thing. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's that appeal to God for a clean conscience. 1 Peter 3:21, that's what the true baptism is. And God caused us to be born again, 1 Peter 1:3. And it's that work in confession, and he gives us the faith, Philippians 1:29. So he's the one who does this. So I don't have any problem with people walking forward to that. I don't. Now, maybe my Reformed brethren would take umbrage with that, but I say, show me in the Scriptures that says you can't. And they might say, well, show me where it says you can. Well, they went forward in public, did they not? In various forms in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, did they not go forward, get baptized, make proclamations, go out and do things? Yes, well, that's what an altar call is, too. So I don't have a problem with them. But just remember.
All right, thank you, Matt. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Okay, just remember, though, it's not going forward that saves you. It's not just praying that saves you. It's trust in Christ and what he has done. And that can manifest in different ways, and one of them can happen while you're during an altar call. Okay? Okay.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
All right, brother. God bless. All right, let's get to... Interesting. Okay. Pearls from Florida. Welcome. You're on
the
air.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Cool. I wanted to ask you about some scripture, a couple verses.
Okay.
What do you think about Genesis 1:6? What do you think about the firmament?
Are you
think that is?
Are you a flat earth person?
I'm a child of the Most High. I don't believe in labels. But I definitely don't believe the earth is a spinning tilted ball without a container and water and gas sticking to it convexly while hurling through a vacuum.
I think we'll move along. We're almost out of time anyway, and he didn't answer my question, so I can tell you where this is going. There's also some notes we know about. So anyway, Let's get to this heretic here. There's a heretic guy named Braden from Twin Falls. You're a complete heretic, I understand. Hey, Braden.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing fine, brother. Incidentally, everybody, I know Braden. Good. All right. So.
Yes.
That's right.
You got to know your heretics. That's why.
That's
you know
right. Them, so. That's right. That's right. You came that's out of right. Mormonism, and now you're right. you got a call to a pastorship, and what's in Hagerman?
Yes,
right?
Sir. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So.
You know, I was thinking about going out there.
Your ministry has been a huge blessing.
Oh well, in spite of me. I was thinking about going out there with Joe again, and while you were preaching, just slap my forehead a lot, you know, and just shake my head.
I would absolutely love that. You missed it this last Easter. I think I sent you a text with it that I used your coma man example, and we talked a lot about the legal debt being canceled at the cross. So
it was awesome.
Good. It was really, really good. It was a gospel-centric Christology sermon. It was good stuff.
Well, good for you, man. I know you love the Lord, so it's been great to see you.
I do, absolutely.
Faith. That's right.
Well, I had a quick question for you. Mm-hmm. I hope I can get it out before the end of your show. But with the Olivet Discourses in Matthew 25 and Matthew 24, do you hold a historicist view, an idealistic view, a futurist, or a preterist view?
I'm a partial preterist who's all millennial.
Okay.
So that works.
I am an all millennial as well. Yes.
Okay, good. So that works within Matthew 25, which is eschatological, and it's typologically talking about, you know, the virgins, about the various things, and the judgment to come, and the goats in the left, and things like that. So I'm a partial preterist, and that's within Orthodoxy, of course. Full preterism isn't. Don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah. No, it does. I was just curious about how you viewed those chapters. So you answered my question. So that's how I answered as well. So.
That's because you're a smart man. That's because you're smart. You're humble, like me.
Yes, that's right. Very humble. Very, very. Some have said I'm the most humble. But then I know that you're the most humble. So
well,
I know
I thought
I'm
I was until I met you. Anyway, you know, I got corrected.
That's right.
That's right. So, all right, brother. All right.
Yeah, so I appreciate it. No, I view it very similarly. The reason that I hold it to a preterist view is because of their question. It's after he's leaving the temple. And they're questioning him. They ask him two different questions about the end of the age, and or when do these things come to pass, and when is the consummation or the end of the age? And so there's two different questions being asked there. And so I see it as a preterist, partial preterist answer as well. So cool.
Yep.
Cool, cool.
That's right, buddy.
Okay.
All right, man.
God bless and have a good rest of the day.
Okay.
And hey, come out to Hagerman soon. I would love to see you soon.
Yeah, well, Joe and I are talking about taking another trip out there and just hassling you. So maybe we'll do that.
Please do. That would be good. So he needs to hear the gospel. So.
Okay. All right, brother. God bless.
Okay. God bless. Yeah,
all right. Bye. All right. Yeah, he's a great guy. Let's get to Brian from Richmond, Virginia, really fast. Brian, welcome. Oh, we're out of time. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. I didn't even know we are past time. Hey, Ezekiel,
no
10,
problem.
Why don't you call back tomorrow, okay? And we can talk about
it. I definitely will.
All right, man.
I definitely will. Thank you, Matt.
Okay, sorry about that. Time got away from me. All right. Hey, folks, by God's grace, we're back on here tomorrow. And I hope you have a great evening. May the Lord bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.